interrupting the current neo-uranial, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 554. And again, we got to just get onto this stuff. There's just so much to talk about. Everything so seemingly interrelated, exposing us to a whole lot of what we've been actually been up against all these time, but what we're pushing, being pushed into. And I want to continually tell us about the vulnerabilities that we are as we get into this digital future, the techno future that the governments want everybody under, in particular an international non-government, ultimately, as we watch. Supposedly, treaties can be made with non-governmental agencies to take over constitutional establishment. And that's where you're going to have to step up and remind at least the representatives that's not the case. Remind your local officials that can't happen. Understand what that is. It's not just an opinion. These are all written down, and you can point to them and say, this is what's supposed to happen. That way you get away from being deemed to be an extremist or someone with just an opinion or on the other side. But here we have more vulnerabilities happening. They want to get us into the digital panopticon, move us into the digital gulag, become a token citizen. And we have these as vulnerabilities. Logo fail, F-A-L-I-L, exploit. Logo fail, exploit, bypasses hardware and software security measures is nearly impossible to detect. Here we go. So let's start out today with the PSA. A very serious system exploitation. Those of you with a Unified Extensible Firmware Interface, UEFI, which is likely used in pooters from nearly back to 2005, which replaced what was called the BIOS, the BIOS. Logo fail was an exploit that bypasses all of that stuff. It's fascinating what people can work out. And this won't be the only one, and this is not going to be ended when they figure this one out. They claim that they do have a fix of sorts. It's going to take that you pay attention and go get it. And you're dealing with your firmware. Be very careful to do it right. This will brick your stuff. This is how the computer starts itself up and how it knows what to do when you from zero out current to it. The only way to protect the image parsing in your system UEFI is by installing the new UEFI security patch, which you'll need to get from your motherboard manufacturer or OEM, who will get it from the IBV. It's the company who makes the BIOS, if you will, the UEFI, the instruction set. Computers running Windows or Linux are vulnerable to the new type of firmware attack called Logo Fail, according to the report from Ars Technica. This attack has proven to be extremely effective because it rewrites the logo that typically appears when the system boots after the successful POST, hence the name Logo Fail, which is early enough in that process that it can bypass security measures designed to prevent bootkit attacks. Since the exploit is not stored in the storage drive, the infection is impossible to eliminate even after an OS, operating system, reformat. So understand that. It sits right in that firmware that starts it all up. What you put it as an operating system is after that point. The EUFI level exploit can later install a bootkit without being stopped by any security layer from here onwards, making it very dangerous and a very effective delivery mechanism. Many OEMs, such as Dell, do not allow their logos to be changed in the UEFI, and their image files are protected by Image Boot Guard. These systems are therefore immune to the exploit. Macs, whose hardware and software are developed in-house by Apple, have logo images hard-coded into the UEFI and are similarly protected. Those of us that may have the UEFI, we're going to look to see whether or not they have a protected logo graphic, and if it is, then we don't need this, but otherwise you are a very vulnerable target on this. And so these are the kinds of things I've been bringing up. Our vulnerabilities in the digital panopticon are going to be just about everywhere. I just can't see what more people would want to do than don't get involved. Just say no. Pretty simple. And do everything you can to avoid it. They're not going to make it easy. They're going to entice you like no other drug dealer you've ever known about to get you involved in this. because it's just so convenient. Now, here's another public service announcement by the FBI, folks, of their coming operations. Likely two or more FBI agents or informants has infiltrated your organization and is about to spring an attack to blame on you. The PSA reads, October 7th, the U.S. is seeing blinking red lights everywhere. Domestic counterintelligence and combating terrorism are part of the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI portfolio, and Ray has a briefing, was briefing the Senate Judicial Committee about the agency's activities. FBI Director Christopher Wray said at a Senate hearing on Tuesday, quote, I've never seen a time when all the threats or so many of these threats are all elevated, all at exactly the same time, Wray told Senator Lindsey Graham, the South Carolina Republican, who is the ranking member of the committee. Quote, would you say these multiple blinking red lights are out there? Graham asked, referencing the phrase used to describe the warning signs prior to the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks. I see blinking lights everywhere, said Ray. The Bureau was increasingly focused on going after Americans, Ray noted, more than doubling the number of domestic terrorism probes since the spring of 2020. So, there's your 9/11 PTSD triggering reminder notice, the FBI preying upon the cognitively challenged among us targeting Americans. Again, the PATRIOT Act, the Patriot Act, so-called, was about turning inward, as I've been talking about this for decades, and pointing that stuff to people and showing people where to read. It has it, they don't give up, and this is essentially an apparent bottomless well to pull from these cognitively challenged among us. The FBI warns a new level of terrorist threat. The FBI is planning to spring something on us, folks. Lindsey Graham knows about it, is all I can tell you. This seems, usually reads that I was telling you back in the Operation Hindsight 2020, right before they threw the Covey swindle. This is going to be the reoccurring remembering of that time when they really did the American people dirt, and no one has figured out how to stop it. And there's no will in the Congress at this point. As you can see, there's a lot of money in war, so why not? And especially about the war that they won, Lincoln won, against the people to continue that, essentially, when you look at that as well. On the other hand, what is it called when one sees danger everywhere all the time, if you will, he sees blinking lights everywhere, paranoid, or that we're looking over a downtown traffic in your planning an op here, as you see these lights. Maybe it's a time for both of these terrorists, the administrator in the executive branch and the legislator in the legislative branch, to be removed. They know about it. They've been in on it. No one really wants to stop it. And maybe we need to start looking a lot clearer and clear-headed and clear-minded and clear-eyed about this to start calling it out. I think you see it's time to call things out. In any regard here, folks, keep your head on a swivel. The FBI is about to spring something, another like CIA springs. This is going to be a spring. They're letting us know that there's something about it. It's everywhere, and it's just a matter of time. In fact, I think there has been a couple of shootings now just recently, right after they said this, just to keep the temperature up about this, keep the fear-mongering going, and keep all those that aren't going to take a step back and watch it, what's really happening against Americans, and everywhere, actually, when you look at it. But particularly America, we were supposed to be the beacon of freedom. Well, those were just absolutely taken away, and no one really said much about it. Why I coined the term for what I was talking about, Covey swindle, Operation Hindsight 2020. Would we see them going to do it again coming? And I said that in December 31st on 2019. And then March happened, and nobody seemed to notice. They didn't want to go to the root of their protection, which is the communicable disease law. Like we didn't go to the root of our protection to out the fraud that was what ended up being the PATROT Act, from which we have all the things that are coming on down on us right now again. And now they're going to ring that bell some more. In the meantime here, we find out more spooky action at a distance to control people in this report. Pretty interesting stuff, actually. A lot of these technologies are really cool until you find out that who gets it first is the government. You know, when there's a patentable idea that looks like it's going to be a national security interest, the government will not allow the patent and will not allow you to talk about not allowing a patent. Then they confiscate. So understand these technologies. But Russian scientists find a way to speed up human reactions. I want to interject a little bit here. Remember, they always give us the what sounds to be the cool thing to do, while they don't talk about all the other things that they might want to do. And so they give us the warm and fuzzies on the front end. Who wouldn't want to have your reaction sped up, especially if you're someone that has a debilitating disease with a brain function or neuron function? That would be something. But you understand they can do, when you see what they can do, or they even let us know this, what they can do and how they do it, then we can start extrapolating from here. And it becomes a much different a capacity that they're telling us. They're giving us the warning about, essentially, the notice that can be done. The method here, to speed this up, could be used to boost concentration of pilots and drivers, a researcher has said. Well, let me interject right there, because that ends up being another surveillance tool as well. They show us in the pictures, though, a certain method, and we just have to extrapolate from there. If we know technology can replace what the archaic little types of hardware they're using right now. The method of non-invasive transcranial magnetic stimulation is used for rehabilitation after strokes, encephalitis, and cerebral palsy, so cerebral palsy, as well as in the treatment of clinical depression. Now, understand here, I got to interject, I didn't want to interject too much, but remember how many youth now, the young people, your young sons and daughters that are teenagers are being found out to have depression or mental problems that this may be speaking to ahead of time, and look at the potential danger in that, notwithstanding the warm and fuzzy that it can fix things. The procedure is performed by applying a device to the patient's head, which creates a changing magnetic field that activates neural networks in specific parts of the brain. The scientists also conducted transcranial magnetic stimulation on healthy people. Well, we are developing a neural interface that will allow the prediction of a drop in focus among operators and complex systems such as drivers and pilots, and stimulate the activity of their brains via short impulse, Gordleva explained, the scientist behind this. So I'd like to just say here, additionally, when you look at this, if there have been any continuing questions relative to magnetic stimulation, which can be used to modify a function of the body at a distance, I want you to all look around. My listener, look around. Is there anything in the environment that you live in or use or produce that produces these electromagnetic energies? Yeah, it's kind of like that. You're immersed in it. And I've been pointing this out for decades, so less than nefariously, the application, by accident of technological interaction, these devices aren't creating bodily changes unknown to research in the U.S., I guess. Again, I've been talking about these technologies and their interference patterns, the addition, the subtraction, is just physics of science and magnetic interference that go on in us all the time. No one's checking in the United States that this might be a problem. Well, not if it's a secret, not if the government wants it to control us. But the Russians are coming out to tell us that they can do this and help people, hopefully. And they only show us a skull cap in the picture, don't they? So you look, and that's the archaic little technique. And we also know, though, that the real 5G, not the nonsense promoted today, but the high-frequency systems, which with those phase arrays antennas, which can pinpoint a target, could deliver that voice of God to anyone that we've heard has been designed. And maybe even to a future terrorist the FBI is warning about us about, folks, do you think? Maybe so. And so this is interesting little technology. I think it's kind of cool just to see it, but we see the nefarious. The government's exposed for what it does, which is, like a lot of times, not so good. Even when it's trying to, we think it's doing good, it's actually doing it for an ulterior motive. For instance, USAID. I mean, that's just a setup for a takedown on any country that lets that in. Into the country to make it sound like that they're helping people get along in another country. But those voices of God you might hear that can be touch you at a distance, and now we see they can actually change your bodily functions to stimulate you and all kinds of other things, bring you out of your depression. We have those speaking voices is another way of exploiting the system. People with all this exploitation going on here, as we see, and this speaker that we understand is the voices coming out. We see another type of speaker. Mike Johnson is reportedly considering slipping controversial warrantless surveillance reauthorization, FISA Section 702, into a defense bill. Again, the exploiting the system, the looming expiration of Section 702, a law enabling government agencies' ability to collect communication data from targeted foreign entities, but has consistently been shown to be used against U.S. citizens, has sparked the conflict between groups looking to maintain it and privacy activists who view the law as a circumvention of the Fourth Amendment warrant requirements for searches of American citizens' communication, again, through the 9/11 nonsense, the PATRT Act. That's what we're talking about. It's still running. It's supposed to sunset, go away. This guy, this new House Speaker, is going to try and push it through a must-get-pass appropriations bill for defense. Sneaky and low. You House Speaker Mike Johnson appears to be contemplating the inclusion of a controversial reauthorization of Section 702 into defense appropriation bill, enabling the controversial warrantless surveillance to continue. I've talked about this recently. It's time to tell your representatives to let it go. Let it pass. It's illegal. It's no good. And let it be known. This is your time. Whether it can't, I know people say this is it's futile. I say do it anyway. At least you know you did something. You get time to practice to do it, but let it be known, Section 702, as other provisions continuing in that PATROTI Act, the Patriot Act, is a breach of trust completely and needs to be gone. And if and he thinks that he needs, you tell this guy, if he needs a shady trick to get Section 702 through, proves it needs to be gone, which here the shady consideration also brings into focus his lack of allegiance to the people of the United States of America. Again, these people acting against us in places of decision. That the United States of America is not protected by these people when you see this. They have all their excuses, but we're not. I mean, he needs, and the representatives and the Senate, all these people, need to let Section 702 expire. They got more important business to do. There's enough tools that I can tell for the government agencies to do what they need regarding foreign terrorists. And remember, there's a little bit of a lie. You think as an American, you're not a foreign to the United States. The United States is that corporation in the district, not a state in a district. So you're foreign to that. Just, if you haven't figured it out, do some research. Figure it out. This is their doublespeak going on. Let this Section 702 expire. Tell them that's what they should do. No work on their part. Let the poisonous fruit of this government deceit die on the vine. Write him, folks. However methods that you have available, it's time to let your voice known. Move over to the speaker, the voice of God being interjected by magnetics. No, you do go ahead and do it with your vocal cords. You do it with your fingers. You do it with the technology that's available. And do it before it's too late. Hopefully, you'll put enough pressure as a mass of people that they will take notice and they will decide to do something else. Here, again, exploiting the rights of people, judge halts the incarceration of meme artist Douglas Mackey. I did a quick little report on this. Just shocking in a way that this would go here, but here is an appeal that they did. It's kind of an interesting way they wrote it, but in a decision that shows some consideration for free speech rights, a federal appellate court has halted the 7-month incarceration of Douglas Mackey. Mackey became the focus of legal proceedings after sharing his satirical meme during the presidential run in 2016 that suggested Hillary Clinton supporters could place their votes through text messages. The court-ordered acceleration of Mackey's appeal will culminate in a hearing as soon as possible post-February 20th, 2024, following all due submissions by Mackey and the government counsel. While addressing the court's decision to execute his appeal on X, Mackey expressed optimism. He emphasized that contrary to the prosecution's classification of his appeals as frivolous, the appellate court inferred that his case was substantial and debatable issues that may, if ruled in his favor, invalidate his conviction. And so we see an interesting order come out where he was supposed to show up. They stayed his appearance to show up to start his sentence, and now they're going to accelerate his appeal. So this free speech case that's been contorted is going to have an additional time to be looked at by some more judges. Again, that this is even a question shows us we don't live in a presumptive right condition or existence. There's a usurpation over the top of us, and it's been conditioned by the very people that just stayed his need to show up and start a sentence that the prosecutor said was frivolous. And this court decision says the prosecutor was wrong. It doesn't mean that he will win. What it says is that the prosecutor was wrong. And this is the thing I want to keep pointing out. These prosecutors are wrong. and can be wrong and are wrong a lot. And no one seems to know how to challenge them. And those of us that do have to, you take a balancing effect of whether or not the court thinks that you're going to embarrass them or not. You're going to catch them up in something. You know, I've seen a couple of cases where people had that leverage, and boy, those cases go disappeared really quick. The judges understand what's going on, and they will not take that liability. We even saw that at the Bundy case with the, I think it was a Malheur judge or something. It got so bad, the prosecution got so bad, she was not going to engage and continue it. Called out the prosecutor to, I guess, the extent that she could. I'm not so sure. However, there it was. That's what has to happen. We have to be aware. They want to find a terrorist behind every rock, and in fact, they could be inventing them. And then they may be helping move you from your depression into some action by the voice of God technology, or stimulate you into doing some fantastic work that you didn't even know you could do, just because that's your body's wired to do that, and they've figured out the keys to that kingdom. So here's somebody in this going from someone who deserved an appeal, now moving over into something that deserves no appeal, an immediate incarceration without due process. We need to be cognizant of societal dangers posed by AI, or artificial implementation, as I call it, as we see this digital panopticon coming into play, and the technocrats want AI to be the ruler of all because they're going to claim that it's neutral. It's not. It's as biased as everything else, and error-prone. AIRROR is error-prone as anything I've ever seen, as I've pointed out over and over. Here, the companies are coming to grips with their liability brought on by this error-prone big data sponge that's now developing out of ChatGDP. Again, it's a threat, folks. I call them, these are vulnerabilities. We're watching now corporations realizing they are walking into a problem, and they're going to try and start heading it off. I take these as notices. If they're concerned, and they're concerned in a legal way, maybe you ought to as well. Telegraph journalists told to of ChatGTP will result in the same sanctions as plagiarism. What's really interesting here is though they go way off of just plagiarism, but that's what's going to be the penalty if a Telegraph journalist uses the ChatGTP outside of very strict constraints and notices. Because of the widely acknowledged tendency of generative AI to hallucinate, they call it here, a confidential state false information as though it is true, or Telegraph journalists are to assume as a starting point that the information gathered or created by Gen AI is false. This is exactly what I've been telling you, the way we should take this, and it should be taken. Again, I've showed you quite a few examples of, you give a database of information to an AI, it can make these selections, it can reduce a certain list, but you have to be the man or woman has to be the final arbiter of whether or not those things will work, those last reduced things will work, because we found the reduced things may be reduced down to what they are, but they're still not good enough. The AI has no way to test that. That requires that last step. Men and women have to do that. And they point out here that very point. You are the human in the loop, and anything you produce that is based on Gen AI output is your responsibility, and you are accountable for it in terms of the law and company regulations. So there's more to this article. I think it's very important to read. My listener needs to read the article in full to begin to appreciate the AI threat posed to you. And this is not a tool to be taken lightly as we enter in the cognitive warfare digital panopticon with your strict liability to government and foreign sustainability wardens. And yes, I'd go there because that's what this ends up going toward if you haven't paid attention. That's what the technologists, the technocrats are using it that way. The government will be right there with them. It's a formidable tool. And if there's no checks and balances, first call it false. You can call it out for being false. Then that flips the burden as well. ChatGPT generates fake data set to support scientific hypotheses. So where they're forcing us to trust the science and they attach AI, we see now a report today. Again, these are coming in turn and time, but we need to see it, and we need to be able to tell people and show how this technology is not what we want, not going to be something we can rely on, we should ever rely on, and go ahead and take that Telegraph advice. It's considered false, and you're liable to that. You have to make that determination, and don't give it any error at all. It's a human in the loop is the last responsibility. Researchers say that the model behind a chatbot fabricated a convincing bogus database, but a forensic examination shows it doesn't pass for authentic. And the question you need to ask yourself, my listener, is, are you a forensic examiner? Do you have those tools? And I'm going to suggest that we don't. Even the people, the forensic examiners, are going to look how many missed. Only one research, these couple of researchers caught it on when they got focused on it. The researchers used the technology behind the artificial intelligence AI chatbot, ChatGPT, to create a fake clinical trial data set to support an unverified scientific claim. So here it's tied directly into trust the science, folks. I mean, whether or not they're using AI to make this stuff up, science does it. People in science do it anyway. There's a lot of money to keep an agenda running. Now, the ability here on this report, the ability of AI to fabricate convincing data adds to concern among researchers and journal editors about research integrity. Quote, it was one thing that generative AI could be used to generate text that would be detectable using plagiarism software, but the capacity to create fake but realistic data sets is next level worry, says Elizabeth Bick, a microbiologist and independent research integrity consultant in San Francisco, California. Quote, it will make it very easy for any researcher or group of researchers to create fake measurements on non-existent patients, fake answers to questionnaires, or to generate a large data set on animal experiments. Can I just add Covey swindle right here? However, here, whatever, not even if they didn't do the AI, it sounded just like that, and that's what's been going on. This is my main problem with AI. It's a great tool when it is put in its place, and you all need to remember that and fight against any implementation in it. And I can suggest to you, it's been written, this AI technology is in the humanist plan for you, in the digital gulag, the digital panopticon, the token citizenship, or whatever computer system response, input, and exaction condition they want. Your health, all these records. And so we understand this is a serious vulnerability, not much unlike the EUFI problem. They get to the system before that can be heavily filtered and no one rechecks it. And all the stuff in the world going on, how can they? I mean, look at all the studies that go on. No one, there's hardly any backup studies that does any of this. And they're just going to run with this one. And so where might AI get a plausibly accurate patient base from which to fabricate ostensibly realistic data sets? It's in the news right here, folks. If you just put the stuff together, I hope you do for yourself. I don't know where I'm going to be, where I'm going to do, how much it helps. I try to do the investigation here on these notices to us in the news to give us an advanced leap on what's going on so that we can learn where not to stand and try to avoid. Hopefully we get in an act to stop it cold right in its tracks. As I said, you're going to have to make legislation that stops this stuff, because you'll see that where there's no prohibition, it just goes. The EU committees vote in favor of mandatory interconnected digital patient health records for all citizens. Centralization of personal records, folks. This is where they could get the plausible patients to fabricate ostensibly realistic data sets that are not. They just keep tying together. AI can do that. Interconnecting, in effect, centralizing, and making remotely accessible the data is the key premise of what has now emerged as a European Health Data Space, EHDS. The upcoming bill has been backed by European Parliament, EP, its Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice and Home Affairs, and Committee on Environment, Public Health and Food Safety. Understand that list, folks, what you're looking at there in that list in the EU. Can you smell the Sustainable Development Goals, punitive techno-modernization plans for you, my listener? Can you hear it right there in that list? This is what they're coming down with. But the report goes further if we go look through, and we can see and read. And let's just reiterate that this might concern some of the most sensitive personal medical information, quote, mental disorders, sexual diseases, disorders of such as impotence or infertility, HIV, or drug abuse therapies, writes Breyer. Remember about the Covey swindle and VADs and all these other things. and then understand that we get into the mental disorders, a spooky action in the distance, they just might be able to program your phone in a cell tower or whatever, your devices in your house that speak back to you. Those things can be setting up magnetic fields that interact with you to help you. And so I don't want to get all weirded out about that, but this technology sits right there to do all this. And the AI that's doing the supposed objective plans is fabricating everything it needs to make it work. It actually, we're seeing that effect. It already knows it needs to lie to make up something. It has no scruple to say no. It just makes it up. All this stuff that they're going to be in the digital panopticon, all your records, all your biometrics, is all available to these AI programs to pull from what looks legitimate. How is a researcher supposed to pull apart what appears to be a legitimate record? What would be a legitimate record misapplied to a data set that was set up and fabricated to look right? I don't know how you get around that. But the EP will vote in December on this recommended legislation when the amendments will be considered as the right as a well. Right now, people polled about the topic in 44% of the cases worry about health data theft, while 40% fear unauthorized access. And so I've looked at that. No one is concerned with a bureaucratic control of one's life in the digital panopticon on this. Nobody has that worry. And I'm telling you, that's probably, it seems to me to be the biggest concern, that some bureaucrat is going to control you through AI, utilizing error-prone conditions that can establish falsified data sets that look right. And there's nobody, they're already telling us that they have these black boxes called AI. Nobody who designs those black boxes understands how that AI, that computer-issued code, actually works and how it actually comes up with what it does. If they can't look in the black box and know that, how are they going to look at the output and know how it's not quite right? And so these early tests and research studies are important for us, and we should never, ever forget this problem, these vulnerabilities. And so this seems like an openly discernible, serious mental defect in people already, doesn't it? That they already just worry about the data theft and unauthorized access. Nobody's looking at the manipulation that it does, and they're the victim of it and don't see that. So we have a blind spot societally, people-wise. We have a blind spot. We don't really understand. I keep saying this. We don't understand where the first departure from what's right is. No, we move from the foundation too quick. So wait until all these folks that are worried about data theft and unauthorized access, remember the inside system, the bureaucrat, he or she's not going to thieve the data, and it won't be unauthorized access. And yet they're still vulnerable. So wait until they find out that Greta is their health administrator in the future, folks. That's not a joke. Watch and how see how this plays. I hope it doesn't play out, because I hope we are people in the world that understand this threat. It's really a big problem. And not many want to comment, but maybe while you're at BitChute getting content links, while the RLM site here was down for the Behind the Woodshed, I haven't got the blogcaster posted now for quite a few weeks. Can't get the connection to work to get the audio file up with it. Go to BitChute to get that. Well, there, BitChute now is where you get the content links for the Behind the Woodshed at this point. But they also now have set up a rant and rave section. The BitChute launches rant and raves, an anonymous, ephemeral, real-time chat feature. And so, if you want to rant and rave, apparently some of us are illiterate, though. AI that starts to step in, as we see coming down to the schools in Arizona, and what's maybe coming, how you rant and rave, the freedom of speech is curtailed before we even get there. In how we are trained, the AI that may come along, the health records that have driven us to the doctor and caused the treatment to be declared by an AI based on a fabricated data set of you, your case. You're real. That data set could be fabricated. They give us drugs. They dumb us down. The technology we have around us dumbs us down. It just incapacitates us. They talk about stimulating people that make us alert. Well, they can turn around and do just the opposite. More insidiously, as you saw physically done with Kobe Swindle and the messaging of the software coding of your life, these magnetic inputs, electromagnetic inputs, these magnetic inputs can also alter how your body works and functions at levels not just mood and psychology, but actual the functioning of it. So go do some research on that if you want to know more. And I bring up the rants and raves relative to BitChute. I guess you can rant and rave. It's ephemeral. It just goes for 60 minutes and disappears. That's how they're going to deal with, I guess, the privacy issues and things like that. But when we get into the chats, we may not find a lot of literacy. I'm noticing that there's a lot going on. People get insulted because of capital letters or you use punctuation. And that's, I think, indicative of all this. But there may be a reason behind it. The empire is in decline. OECD reveals staggering test results. If we're supposed to be, as a Biden and Antony Blinken say, the dominant force in the world, you can't be the dominant force in the world when your children are stupid, said Dr. Leon. And he goes on to say, I know not all our kids are stupid, but I want to be sure people get the point. Quote, what concerns me is the fact that the United States is trending in the wrong direction and has been trending in the wrong direction for a very long time, says Dr. Leon. But I'm going to suggest to you, this is not a trend, folks. This is a plan. And I've talked to you about this, benchmarks and things like that, the education benchmarks, which are focused on essentially creating little workers out of your little goats, your kids. But this gentleman's looking at, and I have to also caution you, this looks like a promotion as well. While he's complaining that we're going in the wrong direction, you got to look and see what he's trying to bring in and what references he's using. He says, I think the biggest problem in this country is a systemic problem, and it starts with federalism. Now, that caught me. I said, you're right, it does start with federalism, but you got to listen to how he twists this. And he is actually advocating federalism going on. The division here, defining what federalism, the division of policy between federal government and the state government. Dr. Leon explained, quote, in most other industrial countries, I believe, they have national education standards. We don't. We do not. We leave education policy and practice up to the states. Dr. Leon went on to explain how exactly the U.S. has fallen so far behind China. All the patriots are going to scream about that. We got to be ahead of China, so we got to listen to this guy, I guess. Here we go. According to the lecture, China's blue-collar workforce is now transitioning into a white-collar workforce as retiring migrant workers are replaced by their college-educated children. China, he adds, also expects its college workforce to increase to 70% by 2050, adding that nearly half of the country's graduates are STEM majors. STEM is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, and you know how bad the so-called agenda-driven globalism science so-called is. And so be careful on this STEM. This STEM became a big notice to me when it came up. I thought it was pretty neat they promoted to make women and people of color equal. That's not what this all is. That's just the cover. That's not what it does. Notice, though, that STEM, S-T-E-M, is universal. They're talking referencing China. It's everywhere. Globally, that's the standard. There's actually no federal education. It's actually a global education. Just as you watch the unlawful prominence of the people on the just being destroyed, they take the international and they impose it locally. If you look at Dr. Leon's statement, he's saying it's going to be federal, but the federal gets it from the international, like we saw Covey Swindle and the WHO, not the Rock Root, the OWL, or the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization, take control of the globe, notwithstanding the authorities that, for America, put it in the states. And what we saw here globally is what they're asking for here is the local authority relinquish their power to a foreign non-governmental agency. So when he talks about thinks federalism a problem, my ears perked up. Oh, he's talking about the way the United States is designed, but he's not. He's actually not. And so it's all this issue relative to the promoters in these areas are actually promoting an internationalism and a foreign condition that translates into a diminishment. Again, if you go international, you have to bring everybody together. Everyone's included. No child left behind is a diminishment. That's what they're promoting here in this article. We can read the Chinese government is able to ensure a national education standard. And so there he's advocating for equal to the Chinese standard, something that happens in the United States. And if you look very carefully, on this article, which is an interesting thing to me, is to watch it. But notice this article complies with and directs to the Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars goals. You make people only intelligent enough to be functional workforce idiots, but not functional enough to put up any resistance against their exploitative oppressors. So this article, too, is being used to promote the federalism denouncing state control for better globalist control internationally. The need for federal education department, long shown in our United States to be inadequate in education, if it's the aim here for what they do, but it's really more an overachiever when it comes to inculcating your little goats, your kids, to be compliant to the new ordered world workforce needs, which I've explained in your state benchmarks that long existed. These workforce benchmarks of education, they've long existed in the state law and focused on workforce productivity. And the living, and you understand the state now, if you look at the overthrow of the permanent laws of the people, you live in a corporate model business corporation act, and when they focus on workforce, you're looking at a corporate slave workforce, and that's what they inculcate you in, you, your little ones, and your generation, future generations into this condition, even if it was to have them agree to be fodder for endless wars as we see all this going on. Again, just functional enough to serve whomever has control. And it might be AI, and then they have someone behind that who has the enforcement. They need people to do the enforcement, so that's given the authority by the law that everyone believes is upon them. Nobody questioned, which is a serious defect and vulnerability when you watch Kobe swindle. No authority whatsoever, no power whatsoever. People handed it over to criminals, literal criminals, around the world. People are the same pretty much everywhere, it seems. And it doesn't matter their rights. People don't have a clue, literally, about what those are. Here, the reference to the Army study in this report here was a warning by the military to the civilian controllers. They went too far. If you look carefully, they went too far with this stuff and dumbing down the department. There's a bottom necessity. The Army report says your students are coming out, they can't qualify to be soldiers. And that was a notice by the Army to the civilian sector. You've got to raise your levels up. What you've done is dumbed them down too far. But we continue to read in this article, there may be some hope to save your kids, your little goats. And remember here, Germany is being industrialized and greedified. Their students lead the way on the demise of their education system. And American kids, if you look at this, the little goats here from America are on the cusp. They're actually doing better. Germany's been deindustrialized. Their students are really having a tough time. That is a long-term inculcation process that's working there as we see it deindustrialized because of the greenification, the religion, green religion that has gotten its way. You folks in Germany really have to turn this thing around. That's what this was all about. The thing with Ukraine, again, is a show, Kabuki theater, to diminish you and to get you out of producing, getting at you out of the production that made you strong right before the so-called COVID-19. We go on to read a little bit more here. The sharp decline in mass scores was also found to be 3 times larger than any previous change and was most significant in Germany, Iceland, the Netherlands, Norway, and Poland, where the EU is having its great hold over Europe. The U.S. students scored close to the OECD average in math and higher than average in reading and science. So there's little goats, your sons and daughters in school are not quite that bad as the rest of the world. But you notice it's the rest of the world's worse where the green religion is tied. It seems to me, we can, I guess, have our own beliefs, but this is the future. And when I saw workforce productivity in education statutes, and that's what they press for, just workforce. That's why I kept highlighting the word workforce in this article. That's what they're talking about. This has been in the books of the United States of America and the states for a long, long time. So it's time, I think, to pull your sons and daughters from the brink of the stinking abyss Here, that's the kids in Germany, Iceland, Netherlands, Norway, Poland are falling over into pulling back before you can't, folks, I guess is the point there. We still have a say in the United States. It's not over yet. There's a whole lot that's not set. And there's a whole lot that will never be said if you don't allow it. But you're going to have to be understanding where the brink is, where not to get closer, if you will, don't cross it without your ability to prevail, because that's what Caesar did. He could prevail once he crossed that river. Don't cross a river unless you know you can prevail. That's war. And that's the war footing that you have here. And I kind of mentioned, speaking of the Rubicon crossing, I'm going to move on into this again, examples for us in the news, the notice. Israel has crossed its Rubicon is a story that popped up. The open theft here of the Palestine by the Zionist Federation is being allowed, contrary to international law and agreement. Arab nations have shown themselves complicit. As I've been discussing all of this, the people of the world may have the last say. That's us, you're my listener. All the people of the world, the people have the last say. As I just said, you can save your sons and daughters, pull them from the brink. Don't cross the Rubicon into the control of the academic, into the control of the green religion that has already got put its tentacles inside your laws and sits there as a wound, a festering pustule that's taking us down slowly, a cancer, as I've said. All these analogies can be said. It's us keep continuing to agree that without saying no, stop, or having the basis to be able to. This story here, but war on Gaza and Palestine is an anti-Semitic criminal organized enterprise here. When you read this, killing women and children clearly indicates an intention to and is genocide, yet another Holocaust of Nazi inspiration, this time against Semitic Palestinians by a political belligerent occupying regime. If my listener can't expect justice out there, they don't expect it at home. I bring this all up, the killing of women and children, the statements of crossing the Rubicon, when a Zionist Federation is not a Semitic people, and they're said to be a Semitic people, is the, again, ongoing injustice of the world that people are going to have to stop. There's a lot of people that could. I'm not seeing them focusing on this. And we read, looking for justice. You're not going to get justice, as we see in this last story, Gaza being destroyed, done it by a political organization, not a type of people. Everybody sits on their hands, wringing them without any action. Again, urging and appealing and whatever all else they do. Nothing goes on at every moment. People are dying. Little ones are dying. Babies are dying over there. And there's no authority, no lawful authority to work. And there's apparently no lawful accountability either. And so as I keep questioning justice in the world, people are going to have to insist on it, even in the face of it, even behind the cover of it. As we see here in the United States, moving over, Justice Department gave Hunter Biden preferential treatment. Again, you start just watching this and it's not something to shrug your shoulders over. Oh, see, there's no justice. Yeah, that there were supposed to be. The institutions of the government are not just, and that should not be okay to a just people. The House Judiciary Ways and Means and Oversight Committees released an interim staff report detailing the Justice Department's treatment of Biden, who was under investigation by the Internal Revenue Service, IRS, and FBI. If we can't see justice in America, don't expect to watch the United States enforce justice in some place like Palestine, where even if we divorced ourselves with the relationship, the moral principles should step in and have it. It's because of this stuff at home. I'll tell you, what happens out there is happening internally. What happens internally is reflected outward. And we need to use these as bases where we're going to be more inclined to see less and less examples of this as our minds get changed and altered and our perceptions get adapted and cognitive warfare affects them or technology affects us at a distance. Moving into the report here, the Justice Department delayed its investigation to Biden, worked to remove Biden's name from search warrants and subpoenas, restricted investigators from asking witnesses and U.S. President Joe Biden during interviews, and tipped off defense attorneys among their investigation, the report says. there is further information the Justice Department is withholding from the committees, the report said. The Justice Department has not fully complied with requests for relevant documents and impeded the panel's probe, the report says. The panel will continue to gather evidence to determine whether articles of impeachment against Joe Biden are warranted, the report says. There's a lot of information in this report, but it's showing us a big, giant a fiduciary failure at every turn. This is, again, quite stunning. I know there may be some attitudes that you think, oh, that's just the way we see the corruption. No, yeah, it's there. If you hold to a principle, this is a stunning report that outs this relative to all the harm that's going on in the world and who gets to continue it. It's not a mere injustice, but the evidence of a failed government and a republic. And, I mean, how more feckless can a government ostensibly proclaiming branch checks and balances and jealous protection of the branches on their own be in all this when you watch even the lawmakers still studying what's going on? Nobody's actually doing a thing. No one actually engages. And I considered a little bit about this the time I could do it. Why wouldn't the Congress impeach the Attorney General? Then charge him with evidence tampering by commission or omission, however that is developed, through what I read here, and enact a declaration of emergency for the overthrow of the United States and clean house. Temporarily replacing those suspected of treason to protect the appropriations of the United States government, which is under the auspices of the Congress, from a maladministration or otherwise appropriate to stop these crimes. Why aren't they acting right here? They have the power to do this, but no one acts. They're just going to study some more. They hand it to the proper official under threat of the charge of misprision and felony pursuant to 18 U.S.C. 3 or 4 that I've recommended before. It's right there to do. The law that says when you see a crime, you've got to tell of the crime, and you've got to give it to the official. And the official you give it to, if they're not authorized, is to turn it to the official that is authorized to do justice. And this is not happening. And this panel, this committee, has the power to start pulling this off, and the people have the right to start demanding. We have to hear this panel will continue to gather evidence to determine whether articles of impeachment against Joe Biden is warranted while the crimes continue. Is this feckless or worse? I think it's a whole lot worse because of the duty and the problem of the republic that the people were to keep. And these folks are to be representing us in that. And it's the entirety is seemingly failed. And I see people bickering amongst themselves. Now, that's all cognitive warfare. We get into it. It's easy to do. It's fun to point your finger and scream and yell and call people names. That's what they want. That's what these people here want. But they don't want us to be organized and clear-minded, clear-eyed, clear-thinking, and purposefully acting. That's certainly what they don't want. And I keep forgetting, but I better remember right now, coming into about time, that I've been asked to, if I can remember now, folks, I'm going to try and do this, but I've been asked to identify the broadcast episode because some of you tune in. When you tune in, you're listening to it halfway through and you don't know what I talk about. You find things that you want to research more and you can't. And this is the first time after about two broadcasts I remembered right now to say this is a BTWRLM 554 for those of you that come in late. And I'll try and remember to do this at the end. So when you hear something and you hear to the end or the middle of the broadcast, you know where to go back in the archives to find out and re-listen to this. So thank you for the suggestion. I'll try to remember. There's so much going on right now in the broadcast. I'm monitoring quite a bit of things while I'm actually talking to you to try and make sure everything's floating along well. And so it becomes overwhelming a little bit to keep track. But I'll try and remember to do that for y'all. And we're moving on here, going on the injustice. It's reflected in the world. We can see it through the Palestinian problem. That nobody's stepping up. It's not just the United States. And we see and continue through on some of the consequences of the continuing injustice being paid around the world through the ones at home that we see as being identified through the Biden crime family and others. I mean, it's just everywhere, it seems, in the United States government. Nobody checked it. No republic check and balance has ever been performed, it seems. And anybody that's in one thinking, you think that they're doing is giving lip service to it all. But the continuing injustice has consequences. And we can see that through, again, the news. Yet another PSA from a foreign authorita to the world. You just can't make this stuff up, folks. It's just amazing. They'll tell us. The EU state will have to fight with stones, says a retired general. And Belgium would run out of ammunition after just a few hours of modern combat, a former commander, Mark Dice, or Tice, I suppose, has claimed, quote, if war breaks out here today, the Belgian army will have to start throwing stones after just a few hours because we will have run out of ammunition, General Mark Tice warned on Tuesday. According to Tice, Belgium would need to boost its ammo budget by at least 33, say that again, folks, 33 times to be able to fight for a month. Belgium is not the only member of the bloc that would be unable to fight a conflict as intense as one raging in Ukraine. Germany would have enough ammunition to fight for 2 days, lawmaker Johann Weidfull said last month, while France would last several weeks and Italy less than a weekend, according to media reports. So what do I bring this up for? Not the fact that we'd be throwing stones, but yes, they would be throwing stones. In fact, he's admitting NATO, NATO, created to defend against the non-existent Soviet Union now, is also useless. The Europe here is in no better shape than the occupied people of Palestine who sling rocks at tanks. Ironic, isn't it? Again, if Russia really wanted to go to war, they're telling you they would run out of pea shooters really quickly. That was what I told you is why NATO and the United States is not in a proxy war. There's no war here. It never, ever was planned to be. They went through sanctions and that blew up in their face. That's another bomb in their face. And so here we have. They're going to throw stones. No different than the Palestinians. This is what everyone's being brought down into. And what is the occupying force reducing Europe to the status of rock slinger Palestinians? The Nazi regime supporting the U.S. government, of course, right? As we hear, just like it fully pays to have done in Palestine, it's doing to Europe. Don't you think that's fascinating? I think it's just amazing. It's all consistent. Everything's got a model, and it just, you gotta just keep looking through it. You just gotta sometimes have to wait. So they're saying, well, we're gonna reduce to rocks. We don't have enough to go to war. So, as I looked at that and extrapolated that out, if Russia wanted to invade, as the West says, again, cutting through the nonsense and the injustice of it all, and the excuses, and they talk about asking for money to go places, but if Russia wanted to invade, as the West says, it could do so. Upon this global PSA that this Belgian general tells us, this is a global PSA of incompetence. Russia ought to propose right now with this admission propose that they go to war and then immediately propose an armistice to stop it. You know, Russia does this. That, for instance, Russia, and then the agreement in the armistice is that Russia won't invade despite Europe's military enfeeblement, providing Europe would be nice, make nice, denazify, and reinstitute neutral buffer states, and then also Russia would ask so that we can, let's get back to restoring each of our respective economies. First, the gas supplies, so y'all don't freeze, including rebuilding Nord Stream. That would be my suggestion that Russia can do. Declare war on Europe, make an armistice, have it handy, ready to go with these conditions, and then we can get beyond this overnight, because Russia, it can't be stopped. There's nothing but rocks after a couple hours. There's only rocks in Europe that they can fight for. So much for NATO, right? What is this big story about NATO then? So my suggestion for Russia is to declare war with an armistice immediately. Try to go to peace with these people. They're so stupid. I hope they would go for it. And I'm just wondering, I think that's a much more peaceful resolution than what I see going on in Ukraine for everyone involved. Myself, I would hope that maybe Russia picks this up. It would be pretty shocking to hear that they declare war on all of Europe with an armistice that says, but we don't want to go to war. How about if we agree to these reasonable terms, just like we tried to do when the United States put the peace agreement between Ukraine and Russia into the dustbin of history. How about if we reinstitute that this time, now that you know that you don't have but rocks to fight tanks, like the Palestinians. So what's really behind Biden's threat to send Americans to fight relative to all this? This is a pretty interesting story, and I'm bringing it up mainly because a lot of people, I think, are misreporting it. The United States President, tough talk, is laying the ground to blame Republicans for losing Ukraine is the actual reason for what the President said and Lloyd Austin said, that U.S. troops would be fighting Russia. Everybody's reporting that. That's not really what they said. You can listen very carefully. And I want to make this point. This is a really ridiculous statement if they meant that. That if you don't give money, the extortion of Congress, again, no law, no respect, no nothing. If you don't give us the money, we're going to have your U.S. soldiers killed, you know, dying to fight Russia. That's what they actually promoted. It hasn't gone through, but this is the level of I don't even know, it's just a criminal mind going on, a political criminal mind. In essence, President Biden has delivered two key points on this recent statement. One was his unfounded, if popular, guess presented with the usual aplomb as certainty that if Russia wins the war in Ukraine, it will inevitably go on to attack other countries. And since Biden also assumes the Moscow's future targets would include NATO member states, clearly in Eastern Europe in particular, he concluded that such a Russian attack would trigger Americans' treating obligations to fight Russia directly. So understand very carefully here what we're hearing. The celebritudes claim is Biden and Austin saying, if you don't give us the money, soldiers are going to fight Russia. Understand they're not telling you the second part of that sentence was they will go fight to protect a NATO member state or Europe if Russia attacks. And Russia has been on the record, says they have no intention, and now we see they could, because Europe would be throwing rocks within hours, if not just a few days. So that's a backhanded proof that Russia's not interested, and I don't know why they would be. Of course, experts at least know that even NATO's famed Article 5 is not the hair trigger many believe it to be. In reality, according to the letter of NATO treaty, member states do not automatically have to go to war when another member state is attacked. But it is a political fact that NATO's real world credibility rests on the idea that its members will defend each other militarily and without hesitation. But understand and remember, this is all coming around from Ukraine. Ukraine is not a member of NATO, and Russia is not going to attack a NATO member country. So Biden and Austin both use the limitation, that limitation of either NATO members or Europe members being attacked before the U.S. would commit troops. This condition is not as people are reporting it. In particular, I mean, some pretty heavyweight celebrities out there saying it. And I wrote to Gerald Celente about this little limitation in an X message where I posted it the night before this story pops up, that this author's Tariq Cyril Amar is identifying this limitation. Not so clearly, though, but he does explain it. I said, the troops will be going to fight Russia if Putin attacks Europe, is a non sequitur. And so there's just no connection between the two. That's just a threat and extortion. And this fact is stated in the article as well. And so those of us that I've said they want to get the United States soldier in war, but they want to try and figure it out. They're not that intelligent. They're going to have to be more obvious in their stupidity about how they run this thing, the injustice of what they're saying. What they're saying is that we're not putting Russian troops to fight Russia unless Russia attacks a NATO member or Europe. And so we got to wait for a double condition before U.S. troops would be considered. These folks are not making mistakes. These people are telling us now, they've gotten real honest about where their limits are going to be. Moscow would be, as we read the story, Moscow would be foolish to attack one European NATO member state after the other. And unlike the West, now this is despite the fact they'd be throwing rocks like a Palestinian at a Zionist Federation tank. And unlike the West, Russia recently has given federal very few signs of being foolish. It is, in other words, Russia's rationality that a proxy defeated NATO Europe will have to rely on, and how ironic that is, that this proxy fails and now protects the Europe, and partly because Russia has always been on record, they're not interested in expanding Russia any larger. So my response again to condition that statement that U.S. troops would be fighting Russia if the United States Congress doesn't give them the money in Ukraine. This is if Putin attacks a NATO country, and I asked Salente, are Congress creators going to fall for that non sequitur? It doesn't even follow that they would, and there's two steps in between. So I just wanted to, I thought it was very important to clarify that. If nothing more, just as you hear it behind the woodshed, we can look very carefully. The people in Washington may act dumb and stupid, but they know the line. They know what they aren't going to do, and they know how to talk in a way Russia understands, that there's no threat. We just wondered whether our so-called representatives are going to be so well protected. It appears that some of them are, but I don't think it's because of this condition. I think they're just doing a political jostle that's normal, actually. If you want to go make money for Ukraine, then no, we want money for the border protection. That's all that part is. However, the report that's coming through, the U.S. troops would likely be fighting Russia if the money's not given to give Ukraine, is inaccurate. Read very carefully on this, and I'm saying this and repeating it. This is a big deal to get lost in, and this could be a very big problem if we don't, as a people, understand the limitations of what's being said, and we start to get emotional about this. And they're not saying that this at all. We're watching the celebrities actually now foment a new type of consideration. But despite all that, but to war, they insist all this, through all this, relative to Ukraine, and we see an admission, Ukraine needs three victories, says Zelensky. Ukraine needs to achieve three key breakthroughs in negotiations with Western allies to maintain crucial support, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky admitted during a press conference on Friday. And again, this is all the parlor trick that's going on in keeping this injustice called Ukraine fomented by the injustice of the Biden crime family and others inside this thing, and all the corporate investment that's come in as well, to keep this a live profit-making venture. But I'm not sure three key breakthroughs is needed by that Zelensky mentions, and you can read them, but I'm not sure what tune came to mind of my listener right there, but sounds like, give me three steps towards the door, give me three steps, mister, and you'll never see me no more. A bad bar romance is unfolding, it seems, as that's all of a sudden turning out. At the same time, an interesting coincidence happens. I was interested in these types of things, and that this happens here. The white part of the flag is torn and split in the largest flag in Ukraine by a storm that went through here last week or so. And when I looked at that, the white part, this is a gigantic flag, a gigantic pole, but it's the flag was destroyed and the white part was ripped out. That's usually the symbol for truce. I also understand they replaced it and it ripped again. Not quite as bad, but it ripped again. So the flag of Ukraine is in nature being explained is not necessarily holding up here as we listen to Zelensky's three steps. And what's happening relative to Congress. The 16-meter banner was torn in half by a strong wind, officials in Kiev said. A storm in Kiev has torn Ukraine's largest flag in half. The national symbol was damaged despite being lowered to half-mast. Listen to the symbology here, folks. In an attempt to protect it from strong winds. And these storms, again, El Nino, have been pretty immense throughout the world. The flagpole and the flag itself are the largest in Ukraine. The mast is standing 90 meters tall. For those of us in America, three times that is the number we're listening for. 90 meters tall and weighing as much as 32 tons, this pole. The banner measures 16 by 24 meters. Fairly large piece of cloth. The once-in-a-century storm saw winds of up to 144 kph and a tear through the peninsula on Sunday, leaving at least one person dead and up to 10 residents injured. It also caused the deaths of 500 marine animals in the aquarium in the port city of Sevastopol. And so, the historic event, folks, make of it this what you will. I found this pretty interesting when we heard about Zelensky's three steps, all at the same time that they're fighting in Ukraine, in the Congress over Ukraine funding. Those are political again, but then we see there's only rocks left over in Europe. Russia's not budging. They're focused in on doing the economy and making sure they're going to be able to live into the future, notwithstanding the existential threat of a bunch of rock throwers like Palestine. Here we have, moving on in relative to Ukraine, the Jews and Boris Johnson, Zelensky's top political ally, looks for scapegoats as Ukrainian elites begin to accept the war is lost and their flag is destroyed twice. The nation's flag destroyed twice in a stiff wind. That hurricane I was telling you about, the sanctions hurricane, I think is blowing and tearing stuff up. A few days ago, President Vladimir Zelensky's most important political ally, David Arakhamiya, gave a long interview on TV presenter Natalia Mozychuk. Both are heavyweights of Ukraine political sphere with widespread recognition and significant influence. Regarding the peace negotiations that took place in Belarus at the end of February and the beginning of March 2022, Arakhamiya tells Mozychuk that the Russian delegation had one key aim, and that was to make Ukraine accept neutrality and give up on NATO membership. That's all it's ever been asking. That's part of what I said. If Russia declared war on Europe and then made an armistice, that would be the same thing that they would be saying right now. We just want you to not want to attack us. We want you to have a neutral buffer. That's all they've really ever been saying, and the United States wouldn't go for it. Now we're seeing who the players were that stopped that. And now we're looking for scapegoats, and scapegoats may be Zelensky himself. In Arakhamiya's own words, everything else Russia talked about, such as demands regarding denazification, Russian-speaking populations, and blah, 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 was merely cosmetic political seasoning. Let that sink in, the writer says. Here is a prime negotiator for Ukraine and one of Zelensky's regime's top men stating explicitly that all that peace really required at the very early stage in the large-scale war was Kiev committing to neutrality and giving up on its NATO ambitions. This is coming from a Ukraine negotiator at the time. And he's still viable. He's still the head of Zelensky's parliament faction relative to the government. The war could have been stopped in spring of 2022, and that is 1.5 very bloody years ago. And for Kiev, this would have come at the price of giving up NATO ambition that is based on a false promise encapsulated in a foul compromise of the 2008 Bucharest summit, a pledge which the West has no intention of keeping, as demonstrated again at the 2023 Vilnius summit. And they've been saying over and over that NATO, Kiev's not getting into NATO. And again, it was just an inducement for some pretty unintelligent people here. And a lot of people are dying over it. It's this very thing that started Russia up to say, we can't trust the West in anything it does. And so we're not. Enough is enough. We're going our own way. We're doing what we have to do. This general repeatedly declares that the U.S. does not owe Kiev anything, which sits badly with its preceding admission, convoluted and yet clear, that Washington has a de facto veto on Ukraine ever making peace. So while we're looking at money being spent, you get all this money, all this material, it's all been, again, a setup. And now they're looking for the scapegoats that are going to make this work and get out. And we're watching, going into a political year, political election year, this is what they're trying to save face about as well. The other article I read points that out. So we have more scapegoats. Boris, the Zionists, and the U.S. have an alternative plan afoot, is all I can see. And it's going to be, it's always been and going to continue to be to the last Ukrainian, that the truth is out, that the foot, they have their foot in their mouth on this, and it's anyone's guess what Russia might do to stop the existential threat to the U.S., U.K., and Zionist Federation and cohorts, such as the global financial interests, poses through Ukraine and what they'll do. They're not talking anymore. They've explained that they will still continue to negotiate, but it's really not a negotiation that way. It's already been cooked into the problem when the United States threw that peace draft into the dustbin of history, as Putin has described it now. No, there's not much for Russia to compromise to better than taking the whole and gaining better, more trustworthy assurances, it seems to me. Whether that happens, it's not for me to make. It just seems that there's nothing stopping, especially now when Russia is looking at a bunch of Palestinians up in Europe throwing rocks. There's nothing really stopping them. And that's likely how it's going to go. And we see Boris Johnson stepping in now. He's becoming more and more in the news. He is also shown to be the buffoon that he appeared to be before. He's part and parcel to where everybody is right now. And I would hope people look through that and quickly come to terms. There's some apologizing, some face-saving that's going to have to be done, but we're not going to do it with the injustice that comes inside of people in the United States government anymore, or the UK, which has been instrumental in proceeding through first to be in and set up meetings to make all this not happen, essentially. The UK here, remember, His Majesty was the party that fostered and encouraged the political movement called the Zionist Federation to interject itself into Palestine and the Palestinian people to see the problems we have today. These are just warmongering people. And people, I guess, are susceptible to being used as useful idiots, I suppose, in how this works. There's no forward thinking whatsoever. Again, I may not support Russia on the globalist type of thing that's coming under color of warm and fuzzies, but property rights and what they as a nation needed was agreed to, and the West violated all those agreements. And the UK and Boris Johnson was integral with that. And so we go on with him a little bit now, moving into a different direction. But again, it's all the same methodology, just on different subject matters. Boris Johnson claims he wasn't properly warned about COVID during inquiry grilling. Big barbecue going on for and with Boris Johnson, apparently, in the UK, with the UK having one of the highest COVID-19 death tolls in Europe, according to the Johns Hopkins Coronavirus Resource Center. The UK government has, and as a result, created a UK COVID-19 inquiry intended to offer, quote, lessons for the future. Quote, I was not being informed that this was something that would require urgent, immediate action. Understand where this is sourcing from and the records and who's keeping it and the university involved. It's not the UK university either. The lessons for the future. Now, the tag I was been using for over 3 years now is OP pound hindsight 2020, meaning resist authorita when it isn't properly informed when ordering anyone to do anything. And anyone could prove he and the government were not properly informed because none of them followed the law of the local communicable disease. He didn't have to be properly informed. He needed to not act until he was properly informed. And he, if it's written like the law is in the United States, he was supposed to wait for the local health official to non-fraudulently demonstrate an infectious agent that was carried by an infectious principal. So this is all a canard. And Frumpy, is that Frumpy Canard? Is that what this is for your name? Yeah, hope you're all right. This is a canard that he should have never acted without being informed. He had no authority to act without being properly informed, lawfully informed. So here we have this guy, these guys, all these folks will find any excuse. It's up to people to lock that down and identify that, this inquiry, this board is inferior as well. It's incompetent as well. He's admitted that he acted without being informed. I don't know what more you need. He kind of passed through the office right now. He's still making noise. He's still in the news. He's coming back, and he's coming back in the areas of explaining how we're all we've been duped, how he acted without authority, how he was instrumental with stopping peace. As I said, Covey Swindle was a war against all of us. He is instrumental in fomenting wars. Just like Cameroon is now put back into place now. And we hear, now moving on to, in through this health matters, and these officials that will sound like they're authority when black and white, the law, tells you that they're not. And I'm so disappointed at one level, but there's nothing more I can do. Not a judgment. People just failed themselves, and they continue to fail themselves. To go read the most basic things about what authorities can do, what officials can do. And yet people will complain about their lack of due process, the lack of justice, and this and that. Now, the injustice is the lack of accountability, the lack of functioning, of proper functioning of your respective governments. And he just admitted that he was an acting without information. But we see that it seems to be, again, repeated over and over in different ways. EU state reports highly pathogenic bird flu outbreak. Now, here quickly, as outbreak is proper for that jurisdiction, right? It's an initial outbreak, that's proper. It goes beyond that, it becomes the epidemic. Within the jurisdiction, there's nothing such as a pandemic. So this word, this statement, the highly pathogenic bird flu outbreak, it would be fine on the surface. Then we talk about which one it is. What is the pathogenic bird flu outbreak? The H5N1 virus was detected in many birds on a poultry farm in northwest Belgium. Isn't this interesting where they're just attacking your food sources left and right? Here we have it coming out in Belgium, in Europe again. A Monday statement quoted by Reuters, the Paris-based organization, said that the outbreak was detected in the city of Dixmude near France, and at least 95 birds died of the infection, while the rest of the flock consisted of 20,100 birds had to be culled. In the Netherlands, outbreaks have been detected at a laying hen farm, prompting a culling of approximately 110,000 chickens. So I want you to remember this H5N1. It's critical. This is another novel influenza. I called this the pig's fly flu back then. It would be a natural pathogen when pigs fly. In other words, it's patentable, is novel, is man-made, lab-created, a pathogen that's created for doing this, or as is we found in the Covey swindle, a lipid-encased protein, or set of proteins. We didn't really understand most of that, although you can see it as I talk to them. You can see these proteins were venoms, and they had responses like venoms and all kinds of responses. Venoms have all kinds of bodily responses. So if memory serves on this also, after the so-called outbreak, a technician there for the H5N1 was caught with lab-made variants of all this novel pathogenic stuff. No one is, and so it seems to me here, someone's killing your food source, and they're using these novel agents to do so. I also understand that Russia's coming out to identify there's some pathogenic things coming in through, as I reported. There's more and more coming out from the wounded coming from Ukraine to the west of hospitals that are antibiotic resistant, big, giant, powerful, resistant bacteria that they can't quite figure out where they're coming from. And they're all coming from people from the eastern Ukraine area, in the Donetsk and things like that, respiratory viruses. So Russia's kind of looking at this too. You don't have this unless there's a lab involved. I just want to remind you that as EU declares measles epidemic. Now here we have, beyond the outbreak, we have the epidemic. Romania seeks to boost vaccination rates to curb, to curb the outbreak. Now, Romania has an outbreak, but the EU has an epidemic. It's a larger area. Romania seeks to boost these vaccinations. So we see the promotion on the measles, and unless you have a particular trait, I think we were all susceptible to measles, and we all got it. And we all had measles parties, I understand, and we just loved it. We got our measles, and we were done. And that's really how that was supposed to work, because the body is just such a wonderful tool about protecting itself from future harms based on that. It has its own vaccination policy that the medical profession wants to interfere with. Health Minister Alexandru Bafila noted that while vaccination hesitancy has been gradually increasing in Romania over the years, the sentiment was given a boost during the COVID-19 pandemic. You think, folks? Yes, sirree. Big deal. Big problem. Many Western governments touted immunization as a way to stop the pandemic once vaccines became widely available in late 2020 and cracked down on skepticism. Subsequent research showed that the SARS-CoV-2 virus remains contagious for vaccinated people, but immunization did mitigate the risk of more dangerous symptoms. So, well, there you have it. He's tucked inside this measles outbreak story. It's admitted by the Romanian government that no one was vaccinated pursuant to their communicable disease law, being that law requires a vaccine stop infection and contagiousness of the non-fraudulently demonstrated infectious agent. Therefore, COVID-19 vaccines do not exist as a matter of law. If you hadn't believed the guy behind the woodshed that's been saying that for over 3.5 years. So this is coming out if you look between the lines of what they're saying. There hasn't been a vaccine, and there couldn't have been. They were, by American law, when they didn't have the dual use, when they didn't stop, not cause reduced symptoms, when they didn't stop the infection principle, they didn't have the dual use. They are now defined as bioweapons. That's not my opinion. That's the law. That's what I say. The black and white will tell us we don't need to worry about whether or not Boris Johnson is informed or not. He shouldn't have been acting. Another killer pathogen in the world now, shifting gears just a little bit, and Israelis have nothing on the guy behind the woodshed putting you at the scene of a crime where you never was at. And while the Germany is cutting its own throat, we have this little story, a propaganda piece relative to the COP28 conference in Dubai. COP means the Conference of the Parties under the United Nations Framework Convention of Climate Change, the established and international environmental treaty to combat, quote, the dangerous human interference with the climate system, in part by stabilizing greenhouse gas concentrations in the atmosphere. It was signed by 154 states of the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development, informally known as the Earth Summit, held in Rio de Janeiro from 3 to 4 June 1992. Its original secretariat was in Geneva, but relocated to Bonn in 1996 and entered into force on March 21st, 1994. Defying Pope's calls for climate action, U.S. Catholic bishops cling to fossil fuels. Pretty fascinating how this works, and where's the money? Follow the money. In the United States, the bishops kind of know what's going on, and yet we're going to see some urging going on by the Pope while the bishops are saying, oh, well, wait a minute, now we've got some money to make, we've got bills to pay. Hundreds of Catholic institutions around the globe have announced plans to divest their finances of oil, gas, and coal to help fight climate change since Pope Francis published his landmark encyclical on environmental stewardship in 2015, urging a break with fossil fuels. But in the United States, the world's top oil and gas producer, and where about a quarter of the population is Catholic, not a single diocese has announced it has let go of fossil fuel assets. The ongoing investments in the United States reflect a long-running rift between United States Catholic bishops and the Pope on how to address global warming. The Pope's Laudato Si encyclical urged immediate action against climate change, declaring that, quote, highly polluting fossil fuels need to be progressively replaced without delay, close quote. Since then, the Vatican has repeatedly and explicitly urged Catholic institutions to divest. So there it is, folks. Did you hear it? The purposeful confusion of temperature with pollution. When we're talking here of the same 2015 encyclical I covered then about September, I think it was, these green religion Gaia guys don't go away. This guy, this Pope, is still promoting this nonsense. He declared that the highly polluting fossil fuels need to be progressively replaced without delay. So political global change, the crisis warming aside, is it the use of the fossil fuel that's the problem, or the pollution from the use of the fossil fuels that's the problem? Because I think we can all agree that pollution should be reduced as much as possible. And I think we can also all agree that fear-mongering ninnies trying to sell a political agenda won't mitigate pollution. And for my listener believing or led to believe that carbon dioxide is a natural pollutant, stop breathing. Pretty simple. Your time to take climate change action is here. Your every exhale contains carbon dioxide. And as you hold your breath, maybe final breath, consider deeply, contemplate it. How is carbon dioxide a necessary part of life or a pollutant? If in that desperate last moment for air you decide that carbon dioxide is a pollutant, bring integrity to your life. You are the polluter, save the planet, or with the next breath admit you are a hypocrite. The Pope is fallible, a purveyor of death, and a U.S. church investments in the world are more important than faith in a fraud. And the rest of us will know you are a supporter of fraud with every breath you take and every move you make. Yes, sirree. Climate change is not about the weather, folks. It's about political climate change, transforming your life to death. That's what this is all about. That's what these people are talking about. And I'm hoping people are listening and figuring out how they're going to discuss the facts of their life relative to these lunatics and psychopaths. Copium 28, hopium and a change, folks, against a war footing with electric tanks. And then we see this, as we heard, all these electric tanks. Still can't get past that. German, again, pushing this whole agenda. How are we going to keep global boiling oceans from stopping what they're going to do? But to push on this nonsense, German electric vehicle industry stalling amid charging stations crisis is yet one more reality. It's the very thing Elon Musk knew he was going to have to solve when he started to invest a lot of money in making charging stations. But that's not going to end there because you have enough. Here we have a German electric vehicle industry is stalling. There's having a lot of problem. We're finding out people are saying that their cars are diminishing in value way ahead. They are devaluing by half before they're done. And that's likely because their batteries are going to be dead within double that time. And that's a big, giant investment for a car that's already 10 years old, just the battery pack. It costs a quarter the price of the car if it doesn't go up from here as the price goes up. A key issue with the lack of adequate charging facilities and diminishing government incentives hindering the expansion of EV sales, electric vehicle sales, in the country here. And this, remember, this is the incentives, the bribing through use of the tax credits and all that sort of thing. The sales in the country, the recent court ruling here that we were talking about has raised uncertainties about Chancellor Olaf Scholz's government allocating 212 billion euro fund for essential initiatives such as establishing charging stations and semiconductor manufacturing facilities. So the reality is starting to hit them right in the, between the eyes about this nonsense. As I've said before, where is electric tank going to find a charge station in the battlefield? They're already seeing the cars. What about that electric tank? They'd have to place these charging stations every couple dozen miles, and then these tanks would be sitting ducks when charging. It maybe sounds facetious here, but I'm not, relative to you have an EV, you're going to be doing the same. Maybe there's not a missile coming at you to take you out, but you're going to be sitting around looking for a charging station and then sitting there while your car charges. This is one of the other main problems. In this case, where you are a tank, you'd be a sitting duck while you're charging. You're not moving from there. And then don't miss here, as I was mentioning earlier, the subsidy, the immense subsidies of the infrastructure, the corporate welfare to provide the green religion its unsustainable utopia. What the fallible one is promoting all this time, which the bishops in the United States are saying, no, fossil fuels are quite fine, thank you. They pay our bills. You look at that story, it's pretty interesting. about that. So, is this how sly the Pope is, though? Are we looking at a side angle the Pope may be playing here when he calls for peace by declaring war on people to save Gaia, tanks with no place to plug in? Is that why he calls this? I don't. There are realities, folks. I don't think the Pope's that smart to do that. But anyway, this is the big nonsense behind all this green religion nonsense, the global climate change. What's going on, the realities of what's going on, really dumbing people down of the basic sciences. As I said before, hold your breath. If you're really an adherent of the religion, hold your breath and contemplate your navel for a while until you figure out carbon dioxide is important. It's part of how you live, and you can't take care of it. In fact, it begins or it ends life. If you go to Mars, if we see what's on Mars, it's but nothing but carbon dioxide, it seems, and a little bit of oxygen they found out. Isn't that interesting? So we have more. And where are the global boiling sea rises due to climate melt realities as we keep moving on now? I moved through this a little bit. I haven't talked about these issues for a while. More signs of trouble on the green horizon. Again, we really need to protect ourselves. It's not just this climate change. That's just the top of the thing that's pushing the sustainable development goals, which is technocrats trying to go through the digital gulag to get at you. And they're coming in a lot of different ways. And I don't know that, I think, you know, people are aware, but I don't think they know how insidious this attack really is and how ongoing it is. But there's signs of reality that you can use for yourself as a touchstone if you need. Now, Glacier National Park removing signs of global climate farce. When the left gets something wrong, they act in one of two ways. They double down or they try to quietly pretend they never acted. In the case of global climate change, they've chosen to do both. For example, Ocasio-Cortez doubled down on the global climate farce. She predicted on the record on that Earth has but 12 more years, at least its human inhabitants, and then she quietly walked away when all of us still existed after that time, and Glacial National Park chose the latter of the cover-ups. Currently, Glacier National Park pretends that its cries of glaciers disappearing never occurred. On 30/2019, St. Mary, Montana, officials at Glacier National Park have begun quietly removing altering signs and government literature which told folks of the park's glaciers were all expected to disappear by either 2020 or 2030. At some point during this past winter, as the visitor center was closed to the public, workers replaced the diorama's gone by 2020 engraving with a new sign indicating the glaciers will disappear in future generations. Deception is in all the climate alarmists have here. When they aren't fudging the photos, they're fudging statistics. How many climate scientists have been caught lying about their data? Well, look, about AI is going to be able to, they found that it just fabricates it. You won't know the difference unless you are someone who has the capacity to study for that, some forensic expert. Now, roughly here, 95% of the left all claim support for global climate farce, and now that the money has dried up, few promote the nonsense anymore. Again, subsidy is driving us. No different than the United States supplying weapons and money keeps Ukraine going. It's the same thing in Israel. As long as the United States is sending the ammunition, that's going to continue going. The United States is the culprit. It's the supplier of the means of the destruction of the people that they want destroyed. I don't care how much help that they're giving the Palestinians. But here, this story, a viral video published on whatsupwiththat.com showed that the Grinnell Glacier appears to have been slightly larger than in 2009. So if you, again, get the facts, start looking at all this. The fallible one is not infallible, obviously. And again, as long as you stop pouring money to a fraud, it has to dry up. There's just no support for it. And this is why they leverage funding inside your statutes and your taxpayers, property taxes. They do it. That's how they can hide it for about ever. And you see that in the CAFR. And so, again, all these things tie together. We can prove a lot of this if we just will for ourselves. So in this story here, I suppose that there should be a warning. The glaciers are larger than they appear in the rear view as we look back. And reportedly, private jets are frozen in heavy snow just before Dubai's global warming conference. All these things happen all the time. It's got to be a message from God. I just can't See how it's not. Heavy snowfall, global boiling has brought a chaos to parts of southern Germany with air and rail traffic blocked in the Bavarian state capital of Munich. A spokesperson said 760 flights were affected. More than 40 centimeters, 16 inches of snow fell overnight on Friday into Saturday, according to weather services, where all those cop out 28s, jets were going to fly. Some of those were stuck in the snow. And we had a little story that popped through a picture of that, and also as reportedly, either the last remaining polar bear is in the back of that nose-up jet. When you go look at the picture, there's a jet with its tail on the ground, and there's either a polar bear back there making that up, or someone said in an article here that I have a link to, the nose-up jet in the video was Chris Christie when he went to the back vet laboratory in the back. So the people, the climate crisis alarmists, and global warming, global boiling, oceans are having a tough time of it this winter again. Remember, 2015, I was talking about all this as well. It has ongoing and never, it won't stop. And we just got to, we just have to shut it down and once and for all do it. Don't continue to be quiet again. And there's another observation from here, a lawyer, Lisa, and we can read where she writes, I wonder if the EVs, electric vehicles, are operating optimally. Well, there are solar panels. Then there's the turbines. Well, there's the battery storage holding hours and hours. They don't work that way either. Well, there's the coal, she says. Yep, that works. And so fossil fuels in a societies that were grown up around needing energy is the answer at this point. Nuclear can also, I understand the Russians may have adjusted to some new technology. I'm not so sure yet, but that will make this even better, more efficient, more output. A new style, I think I might have reported on it, nuclear thing that we could be using. But nope, you're not going to use any of that either. No, we're going to keep going on these fear-mongering issues. And someone, so-called lawyer Lisa, has kind of opted to show her list of things that wouldn't answer the problem, all of which are what the green religion will foist upon you and get you to pay for through your tax subsidies and or regulations to require you to do so. As they destroy, people are destroyed by what I would consider the leaders of the Soviet idiot class. As we see this report, U.S. commits to ditching coal. The U.S. has the third largest number of coal-burning power stations in the world and hopes to pressure allies. Well, again, lawyer Lisa just said we'll have to go to coal and that would work. The rest don't. But here we have Kerry hinted that the United States membership in the alliance would be used to promote renewables. Quote, we will be working to accelerate unabated coal phase-out across the world, building stronger economies with more resilient communities. We even got to talk to Germany. They just restarted, didn't they? Anyway, you got communities that previously relied on coal in their economies will be supported with financial incentives to adopt renewables, according to an outline presented during the conference. And Kerry hinted that the U.S. membership in the alliance would be used to promote renewables. We will be working to accelerate unabated coal phase out across the world, building stronger economies and more resilient communities. Well, if you think that's going to happen, just go look at what's happening to Germany. That's exactly what's going on. So here he has the subsidies. Bribed, here all he's going to support and pay for this. Bribed to cut one's own throat, despite watching the economic destruction of Germany because of the non-scientific green religion neo-Soviet excursion, and despite Germany is reopening its coal deposits, regaining inadequate and inexpensive green energy facilities, both subsidized or charged to the taxpayer, and the consumer is taxed twice. So you have the taxpayer and you have the consumer of the products from this are taxed again. This is how insidious this all is, and Kerry is a United States czar. Let's talk about Soviet leadership. Not Russia. The Soviet. But you won't hear that climate cretin Kerry say this. And this is where we go back to where we talk towards science and hope that there's more of these voices out there. COP28 president claims that there is no science behind calls to phase out fossil fuels. The same jets that got stuck in Munich couldn't get to the global warming conference, the president of that conference is saying that there's no science. the UAE's Sultan Ahmed Al-Jaber, reportedly says gradual cuts in oil, gas, and coal use would, quote, take the world back into the caves. So we're going to be throwing rocks and living in caves. There is no science out there and no scenario out there that says that the phase out of fossil fuels is going to achieve 1.5 degrees C. He said, adding that the move would not, quote, allow for sustainable socioeconomic development unless you want to take the world back into the caves. Al-Jaber serves as the chief executive of the United Arab Emirates state oil company, ADNOC, while also chairing the COP28 in Dubai. Many critics have described the two roles as a serious conflict of interest. He also predicted that a phase out, listen to very carefully about this, folks. This guy predicted that a phase out of fossil fuels is essentially inevitable, but argued that countries need to be real serious and pragmatic about it. So, no science? Quick, cut to the hand-wringing, NGO-screaming, hurting women and children canard, as we read in the story. The story cuts in response to that lamenting NGO. Quote, we're in an absolute crisis that is hurting women and children more than anyone, and it's because we have not yet committed to phasing out fossil fuel, Robbins, who chairs the Elders and London-based Human Rights and Environment NGO. We cut there. Is that the frumpy canard as well? I hope you're doing well, Frumpy. And that said, the U.S. fossil fuel phase-out is inevitable, folks. So he says there's no science. We cut to the NGO screaming about the women and children being hurt, but there's no science, folks. And then he says that a phase-out is inevitable. This is very interesting, coming from an oil producer, don't you think? Pragmatic? Well, yeah. How do you fund your society as well? Not oil, well. As well, because those have dried up, if he's correct. Well, this brings out a whole other thought for me, but I thought that was fascinating. He says it's inevitable that those would be done, but we have to prepare for that loss of the oils, of the wells drying up. And that caused me to think about this, what we've been doing as people. We've heard about peak oil. I don't think it's quite what they said. The peak would be that we would over-extract what nature was providing. And I think they might know this. And so you're running a garden hose, was filling those reserves that Mother Nature is providing continuously is not enough. When you pump the reserves dry, there was a water hose filling those reserves over a long time, but we pumped them way too quick. There's still a little bit hose, but that's not going to run the world. So let's hope the fusion power that's coming online that we're hearing about, pretty cool stuff, then when only there's a garden hose filling the reservoirs, there's not enough to power society. Those fusion reactors come online, and they could do that. So especially after allowing these climate alarmist fraudsters to remove all your hydropower, because wind and power and solar are just not enough, folks. I don't care what they do, how much they say, none of that's stable and enough. And despite all the promotion to the contrary, none of that is sustainable. Notwithstanding that it's a fraud. Sustainability is another fraud. But trust the science, folks. And these stories are really, I always like these stories because it is what science is. It's really what it's exciting about science. But we're supposed to trust the science. Celestial odd couple, overweight planet defines cosmic norms by orbiting tiny host star. The oversized planet's orbit around the ultra-cool dwarf star, officially known as LHS 3154, challenges existing expectations with a mass ratio surpassing predictions by 100 times. 10 magnitudes. Amazing. Just didn't understand. We didn't know it could do that. Expectations, not science, not looking at what's reality. Make up theories and make up hypotheses without knowing a thing about it, and then passing this stuff as science on to other people to try and, I guess, hurt them and be important to yourself. But the study suggests a need for reevaluation of our understanding of planetary and stellar formation processes. Fantastic. Professor Frederick Massey of the National Autonomous University of Mexico, in a commentary on the findings, described the discovery as unheard of and has underscored it may prompt a significant reevaluation of a current planetary formation theories. One potential explanation offered is a consideration of the amount of dust present in planetary disks, challenging previous assumptions of urging scientists to revisit the fundamental principles guiding our understanding of the cosmos. That just gives me chills. That's so exciting that we just don't know. Do we look out there? We just don't know. Our theories are feeble and useless. Yet we're still studying. We find new cool things. The planet-forming disk around the low-mass star LHS 3154 is not expected to have enough solid mass to make this planet. The discovery really drives home the point of just how little we know about the universe, states Suvrath Mahadevan, a professor of Penn State University and co-author of the findings. Now, folks, that is science. Driving home the point of just how little we know, folks, he says. We just don't know. Remember, trust the science, though. It's safe and effective. Ah, cool story, though, just the same. The wonder of creation and cretins alike. We can't look at this without still wondering. And how little do scientists know about this world is what all great science is really about. We're just trying to figure out what our position is here. Yet, people want to be godlike and make policy for us and you, my listener. And I'm asking you to protect yourself. But here, fascinating stuff, really kind of neat stuff, relative to us not knowing what's going on and Mother Nature's got it handled. Redwood trees stun scientists by sprouting 1,000-year-old buds to survive after wildfires. Fascinating stuff right here. Never known before either. Despite fears that most of the redwood trees would perish due to intense blazes, a recent study revealed that these towering giants tapped into energy reserves dating back decades, enabling them to sprout new growth and challenge existing understanding of tree survival. Tree ecophysiologist Drew Peltier and his team from Northern Arizona University discovered that contrary to expectations, the surviving redwoods mobilized long-held energy reserves using sugars produced from the sunlight decades earlier. These reserves were channeled into buds that have overcome that have been dormant for centuries beneath the bark. Moreover, the sprouts emerged from buds that had formed centuries ago, and some extending back as much as 1,000 years, making them the oldest documented in scientific records. 1,000 years is all of our scientific knowledge, folks, right there. Anyway, moving on. Pretty cool stuff here. It is amazing to learn that carbon taken up decades ago could be used to sustain its growth into the future, said Roca. While the study suggests redwoods possess tools to cope with catastrophic fires linked to climate change, uncertainties remain about their ability to withstand reoccurring infernos in a warmer climate. While the redwoods have been shown remarkable recovery, questions linger about their ability to cope with reducing energy from photosynthesis in the coming years. The concern is heightened by the potential threat of second catastrophic fire and whether the ancient trees have depleted their emergency reserves. So, over 1,000 years, those trees never experienced catastrophic fire. A species of tree which uses fire and apparently carbon to propagate and survive catastrophic fire. How does that make sense? And we're supposed to trust the conclusions of science? A perpetual question? Science is just a perpetual question. That's the cool thing about it. And yet somebody is godlike wants to make a knowledge. Oh, it's climate change. Our records don't even go that far to even know. This is the perpetual question on something science has no clue about, but blame climate change and wring our hands in worry, and despite available atmospheric carbon was needed for the tree to survive. Isn't that amazing? And all this is while climate alarmists kill cows or steal sequester away carbon. And don't miss the fact on Mars, for instance, as I've mentioned, carbon and carbon dioxide either predate or outlast mankind. So does Elon Musk want to go to Mars to jumpstart the planet, punching holes and potentially let the air out of our atmosphere, or find a prior civilization on Mars, most if not all life of which now extinct, tried to eliminate carbon and figure out his green techno-humanist endeavors are doomed to failure, or in witnessing that the carbon On Mars is the truth that will his greedy grab for the green bucks here prevail reason. Does he notice that little fact? Does it predate us, or does it postdate us, or does it do both? Carbon is in the universe. It's there for a reason. It's life-giving, and they want to sequester it away from even the redwood. We don't want to, I thought we'd want to save the trees. But and on the topic of failure prevailing reason, will Elon Musk see this reasoning? I don't know. Get a load of the cretins and violators of military science. As we hear, prepare for bad news from Ukraine, NATO chief James Stoltenberg said that the military bloc's defense industry has to reach a level of cooperation needed to satisfy Kiev. I think one of the problems, he says, that we must address is the fragmentation of Europe's defense industry. We are not capable of working so closely together as we should, NATO Secretary General stated. So there, right there, folks, did you hear that? NATO has always been a no-go, a fraud, and the U.S. knows that. And if the bloc, so-called, cannot satisfy Kiev, how is it to defend itself against the aggressive Russians? And doesn't that say something about Russia not invading the whole of Europe when it Europe can't marshal the material to fight the war? Again, a little nuance on the last other information. And we look further, that just given Europe's proclivities toward fostering and encouraging Zionism since World War II, the existential immediate threat to Russia, then Russian forces thought it had vanquished when shaking hands with the Allied forces in April 25, 1995 at the Elbe River, it ended war and ostensibly defeating Nazism. What is this conundrum that they want to build up that they admit? They only have rocks, and they're not integrated enough to be able to put on a war, but everybody says that they're powerful enough to fight Russia, and Russia hasn't attacked them yet. The article goes on and says, he told the reporters that we should never underestimate Russia. NATO's chief noted that Moscow has set its, quote, defense industry on a war footing, making it hard to achieve the territorial gains we hope for. Folks, hope and change, folks. Hope and change. No war plans, just hope and change. These sustainable types can't deal with reality. And this is what you have to maintain a footing on. Keep reality going, keeping it strong. And I've been saying this has never been an actual war, but a theater. An economic war declared by the U.S. through the sanctions was the war they lost in the opening salvo. These admissions by Stoltenberg show that there never has been enough to put on a real war and military theater, that we were watching the Kabuki theater is running out of the parts to play. This time, exit stage leftists, as we will see that as the U.S. warns the Zionistas of a strategic defeat, likely the lesson learned by the U.S. for doing the same thing here in Ukraine. I'll point out, have an article, Pentagon warns, chief warns of Israel's strategic defeat. You need to read the dynamics on this, and that we have seen the U.S. Been allowing Zelensky to do this to the civilians in Donbas region of Ukraine since 2015 is the same they're allowing here is the Israelis to do to the Palestinians. And what did that get Zelensky and the U.S.? Yeah, not too much, not too good. Anyway, I hope something I said and tied together and showed you how it all is there, how we can look through the exploitation that's been used as the rule against us, how we can look through and not try to avoid it as best we can, and hopefully we act against it. I hope something I said today helps you to do that. I'll be with you next week, Tech Tips or Nature Willing.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.